joy to the world, the Lord is King. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him, and heaven and nature sing, and joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, the men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow, or thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings known, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth, and makes the nations true. The wonders of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. Amen. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying He makes. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my cradle till morning. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care, and lead us for heaven to live with Thee. Away in a manger, no crib for it bed, a little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the
Lord, we just thank You for this season that we celebrate. We thank You for Your love and for Your goodness. And Lord, we thank You for, most of all, for Jesus. And Lord, for what His arrival means for us. And Lord, what we can remember and hopefully learn from it. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to worship through opening your word, that our hearts would be in tune with what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning to all of you, and all of you online, and all of you here with us. We're glad you are here. Thank you. As by way of announcements, do we have any announcements today? Because the gift baskets are all done. Congregational meeting next week. Right, real short one. One vote, yay, nay vote. We'll be in. I mean, we'll get in the meeting. We'll vote. We'll get out of the meeting probably before you have time to actually realize what you voted for. No, I'm kidding. We are going to be voting on the retention of Roger Whitehall as an elder. And so no one's come and talked to me about not wanting him to be an elder. So I'm assuming that we're all in good shape for that. So really, really glad of that. Now, so with that, let's get our slideshow up here. Oh, no. Back up. Sorry. It's Advent reading time. I almost forgot this. I don't know what's wrong with me. So let me start by lighting 2 weeks ago and last week. There we go. This week's Advent reading is called Strength. When I say the word strength, what comes to your mind? You might think of a mountain with the power to stand firm and unmovable. You might think of something like a tractor with the power to pull loads of great weight. You may think of an animal who can run and hunt and kill. You might think of a powerful executive or politician with power to conduct business or influence change. But I don't know if any of us would ever consider a baby as a sign of strength. But that's the way God usually works, right? The way we think it should be is very seldom the way it is. What we see of strength in Jesus at this point in his life when he is first born is the utter dependence that he had on his heavenly Father as well as on his earthly mother and father. Think about that for a moment. Mary and Joseph had to take care of him, train him to walk and talk and eat and all manner of other things. But God saw this dependence as strength. Why? Because when we are completely aware of just how weak we are, then we are relying on a strength far greater than any we could possess ourselves. When we rely on the strength of God in our lives, there's nothing we cannot do. Because, as the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. So, as we light the third Advent candle this morning, I hope and I pray that we can all depend on the power of God who loves us more than we could ever know. May we trust in the grace that he gives to do the things he wants us to do, and may we all have the power of God's grace at work in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you that in your power we have the power to accomplish anything you ask of us. May we rest and trust in that power today, and so have the strength that we need to be the people of God that you want us today. As we anticipate the Christmas celebration, Lord, help us to trust you, not only during the Christmas season, but Lord, in all the days that follow. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. All right. So we are going to continue in our series that we are calling Lessons from the Life of Scrooge. We are looking at Christmas present today. Not Christmas presents, sorry kids, but Christmas present, right? It's my hope that as you listen today, that you'll be thankful for the present, as difficult as it may be this year, right? 2020 has kind of been a very strange year. Anyone care to disagree with that? All right. I'm not going to let you, because I don't want to get in an argument. But it's where we are now. It's where we've been placed, even if we'd rather be somewhere else. It's what we've been given, and we need to be thankful for it. In his book, A Christmas Carol, Charles Dickens gives us a glimpse into the past, the present, and future of a glum old man by the name of Ebenezer Scrooge. His past has brought him to a place where he sees nothing in front of him except his own life, his own opinion, and his own well-being. But as he begins to receive his visits from the three spirits, he begins to understand that his past does not have to shape who he is. And, as we'll see today, his present is affecting much more than even he realizes. But the truth of the matter is that the present of Christmas is indeed something far greater than us. And as we will see from this clip coming up, it's really Tiny Tim that gets what the present of Christmas is really... Well, you know what? I messed up, didn't I? I did. We have to do our scripture reading first. So, cliffhanger. Stand with me, please, as we read God's Word together. We're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. This is from the New International Version. And so, if you will read along with me, we will read our scripture reading. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Lord, thank you for screw-ups like me. Thank you for your holy word and your perfect Son. Thank you that we, through Him, may have grace upon grace. And I pray that today that as we look at what your grace and mercy is all about, Lord, that we would see this Christmas as an opportunity to worship and serve you in Jesus. And I pray too, Lord, that the words of my mouth as I preach this morning would not be my own, but that they would be yours. Use them in the power of the Spirit to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as I was saying earlier, and again, I'm really sorry about messing that up. Scrooge is beginning to see his life in kind of a different way. He's beginning to see that the order of things, that the things that he is doing, what precipitated those things and the decisions in his life that he had made, whether good or bad, that had led him to where he was today. And today he is going to be looking at what is happening today in the present and how those decisions that he is making is affecting not only himself, but the other people in his life. And in this first clip that I want to show you, Tiny Tim really gets what Christmas present is really all about. So let's go ahead and watch this.
Here they are!
Merry Christmas, everyone!
You're late, Bob Cratchit.
Oh, and you're quite like an icicle tin.
You've been dawdling.
Father had a long talk with the minister.
Not as much.
Captain, this is the pudding hissing in the fire.
It's like a giant snake inside the copper.
Go along with your brother and sister, Tim. Begin the wine.
If you go, then.
Come on.
How did you behave in church?
As good as gold.
I'm very worried if it'll turn out all right.
Look how they support him.
No,
it's like... What did you say? Nothing. Nothing. Somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much. He thinks the strangest things. He told me coming home that he hoped that the people in church saw him because he was a cripple, and that it might be pleasant for them to remember on Christmas Day who it was that made lame beggars walk and blind men see. It seems to me that Tim is getting stronger every day, that his limbs are growing, that he's in better spirits, it seems to me.
Yes, Bob. I'm sure you're right. He is getting stronger.
Well, we're all here. That's the important thing.
Yeah, the present of Christmas is indeed Jesus, the one who made the lame beggars walk and blind men see. But the sad fact of the matter is that we seem to be filled in this world of those who would rather be glum and angry at Christmas time, right? Many, perhaps even some here, have been living with hurt or pain or even loneliness, and you might even be considering not even celebrating this Christmas present. In fact, and I hope I don't get censored for this, but even in the midst of COVID, I fear so many of us are not going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to miss it. Friends, I hear people say, well, we'll get together next year. We're not guaranteed next year. James tells us that, right? Can I challenge you, even in the midst of your pain and isolation, that God has something for you to learn this Christmas? He had something for Ebenezer Scrooge to learn. And in fact, in the hours before his visit from the spirits, he had been approached by some men who wanted him to donate to charity. And he wouldn't, saying that those who would rather die than accept the work that the workhouses and prisons offered should, quote, die and decrease the surplus population, end quote. Now, Scrooge eventually has these words come back to haunt him, as we'll see here in this next clip.
Tell me, Spirit, will he live?
I see a vacant place at this table. I see a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, say he will be spared.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, none other of my species will find him here. But if he is to die, then let him die and decrease the surplus population.
You use my own words against me.
So perhaps in the future you will hold your tongue until you have discovered what the surplus population is and where it is. It may well be that in the sight of heaven you are more worthless and less fit to live than millions like this poor man's child.
So how should we celebrate this Christmas present that we've been given here and now? I want to suggest three ways in which you can celebrate this holiday with all the passion that God wants you to have. Okay? So if you have a piece of paper or you're writing things down in your Bible, I want you to remember these three things. Number one, remember God's love. We're going to go to a very familiar passage, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Right? We all know that verse, right? Shall we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's probably a number of different translations being quoted there, and that's fine, that's good. But the point that I want to make, first of all, is that God so loved that he gave. His love wasn't just an emotion for the world. It wasn't just an emotion for the people that he had created. It was it was something within him that moved him to do something about the love that he had. And he gave of himself the greatest gift that could only that only he could have given, his only son. Friends, I want you to think about that. In this day or in this season of giving, in this season of offering love and life, the greatest gift that we have is Jesus himself. It's not, you know, it's not the presents under the tree that matter. It's not the meals that we eat or even the fellowship that we have together. It is the love that God demonstrated by giving his son. And this gift of love was evidence of two other things that God gave us when he wrapped up Jesus and gave him to the world. And we're going to look at those things. So we remember God's love, and through his love, we received God's mercy. We need to remember God's mercy. I want to read to you a passage, and if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. And I want you to listen to it, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit more in detail here real quick. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2 says this: As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is God's mercy at work. First of all, he begins by telling us where we were in our lives in verses 1 through 3. We were dead in our sin. We were dead people walking. You know that phrase? That is a phrase that comes from death row in prison. That when the time comes for a prisoner to be executed, they are dead men walking. They are considered, their life is done. They're forfeit. They're going to die. And that's what all of us were in our sin. We were dead men, dead women, walking around this world, maybe even thinking that our life was pretty good. But we were dead in our sin, and we were objects of God's wrath. We talk a lot about God's love and mercy and grace, and well, we should, because that's a wonderful thing. But I think in talking about that so much, we forget that God is also a just God, and that He will punish sin, and that He will take sin and punish it. He's not going to wink at our sin, and when we come to the end of our life, look at us and say, you know what, I really, really love you. And even though you did all of these things and you never repented of your sin and you never accepted my free gift of salvation, that's okay. I still love you enough and I'll let you come into heaven. That's not the way it works. We were dead in our sins. We were objects of God's wrath. But then God's love, mercy, and grace all work together to make us alive. In verses 4 through 7, we see that, right? Did you see the words love and mercy and grace just kind of intertwined in that whole passage? Because of His great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. It is by grace you've been saved. I mean, this is Paul telling us, look, this is what God's mercy is all about. That it all came together in Jesus to make us no longer dead people walking, but living, breathing, spiritual beings, able to understand spiritual things and able to share the gospel with people who are where we were. And so God's love, mercy, and grace are all working together to make us alive, but then we come to God on the basis of His grace through faith. It is by grace that we have been saved. Verses 8 and 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. As we continue to think about the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, we see that the one person, Bob Cratchit, who was having to deal with this mean, gruff old man, was the one person who indeed showed him grace upon grace upon grace, and even taught his family to do the same, as we're going to see right here now.
Now I would like to propose a toast to Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge, the founder of our feast. Mr. Scrooge.
The founder of our feast indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and hope he had a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, it's Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, when one would drink the health of such a stingy, odious, mean, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge.
My dear, have some charity.
Oh, well. I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's sake, but not for his. Long life, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I have no doubt his Christmas will be very merry and he'll be very happy.
Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge.
Friends, so many times we look at our problems in life and we think that we have the right to return in kind the things that have been done to us. But when we think about God's grace, which is the third thing that we see in this passage, when we think about God's grace, I don't think that there is a more vivid example or vivid illustration than what we just saw of what grace is really all about. Because if anybody would have had the right to just forget him, it would have been Bob, right? But yet he teaches his family and his wife, who I think probably represents more of us than we would like to admit, right? What grace is really all about. In the scripture reading that we read this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is talking about a gift that was being collected for Jewish believers back in Jerusalem. And as Paul is sharing this passage and he's sharing this with the Corinthians, how important it is for them to give. And again, it's a passage that speaks of giving and giving generously and giving cheerfully. And, you know, what you reap, you're going to sow, and all of these different things. And there's wonderful truth there in about five or six sermons just in that passage. Okay. But I believe that the most important part of that passage is at the very end, when he talks about how when we give, and when we give of ourselves, really, give sacrificially, that people see that, right? And that it produces praise, it produces thankfulness to God. It produces a sense in which people begin to hear and understand who God is and what he's about. And it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of grace. That this gift of grace is the greatest gift that we could ever have been given. Now, what is grace? We talk about grace. We throw that word out there and we think that everybody just kind of understands what grace is. But can I tell you something? And this might be a little different than what you have been taught in the past. I believe that God's grace is his power at work in a person to do what he wants us to do. Can I say that again? I believe that grace is the power of God at work in a believer, or even an unbeliever, to do what God wants them to do. Now, let's look at it in terms of what we read in Ephesians, right? It is by grace you have been saved. So God gives a person the power to admit their sins, to believe that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, God in flesh, and receive that gift of salvation. God is the one who gives us the power to do that. So it's from God in the first place. And yes, we have responsibility to make that choice, but we can't make the choice if God doesn't give us the power to make the choice. Man, this is like head swimming type stuff here, right? But what God's grace not only does in bringing us to salvation, it also does in helping us continue in our faith. Because that gift of grace is beyond description. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, it is his indescribable gift. It's a gift to us that we can never, ever truly describe or understand. What did God's grace do? Well, it's beyond description. Here's what God's grace did. Let me just give you, this is by no means an exhaustive list, but let me just share with you some of the things that God's grace has done. God's grace sent Jesus to this earth. God's grace showed us how we can be dependent on God the Father, like we read in our Advent reading, right? To have the strength that we need to live the life that he wants us to live. God's grace demonstrated how to train others to follow Jesus through Jesus. Right? Jesus had disciples and he trained them in how to follow him. And if we follow that pattern, we can teach others how to follow Christ as well. God's grace purchased a pardon that we could not pay for ourselves. God's grace put Jesus on the cross so that his death would pay our sin debt so we wouldn't have to pay it ourselves. God's grace caused Jesus to lay down his life so that he could save our life. God's grace enabled Christ to rise from the dead so that we would no longer need to fear death. God's grace caused Jesus to go to heaven so that we might have an advocate in the Holy Spirit before the Father and before and a comforter to live in our hearts. God's grace allowed him to forgive our sins completely through what Jesus Christ has done. This is the indescribable gift of grace. And again, what God's grace has done is so much more than what I've just read to you. That is eight things. And there are so many more. We could be here all day. Lose our feed. You know, all that. But this is the indescribable gift of grace, and this is our Christmas present. And I mean that in both ways, right? Present as in time, this is where we are, and it is the present that we are offered this Christmas from God our Father. And so as Scrooge faced his present and what people thought of him, we too must face what God thinks of us. In our sinful state, we are enemies of God, objects of his wrath. We are doomed for destruction. But as James tells us in his letter, chapter 2, verses 12 and 3, we must speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who's not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Can I get an amen? Mercy triumphs over judgment. God's heart and God's character, all of that means that he is a just God and he must judge sin. But his mercy will triumph over judgment when we have come by grace through faith to him to have our sins forgiven. Friends, today I want you to understand that this grace that we're talking about is available without strings attached. It is offered to you to receive in a manner that is worthy of the one who is offering it. And people always ask me, well, Pastor, why are you so narrow-minded in that, you know, Jesus is the only way to God? Because Jesus is the one who paid for the gift that God is offering. It was Christ's death on the cross that purchased salvation to be offered to us. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Buddha or Hare Krishna or John, you know, any Mormon. You know, it wasn't them who died in our place. It was Christ who died in our place. Our memory verse for this series is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can we say it together? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. We're going to see in the next 2 weeks, Scrooge's encounter with grace is going to change his life forever as well. And what a change we're going to see. None of us wants to be who we once were. None of us looks back at our life, at all the mess-ups and all the screw-ups of our life and say, man, I wish I could go back and screw that all up again. Because it was really fun to fail. All of us want to be forgiven. All of us want to be changed. And so God offers this trade-off. He offers us this. Are you ready? All of who he is, or for all of who we are. So we give him all of who we are to receive all of who Christ is. I don't know of anyone Well, I guess I can't speak for everyone, but I know as far as I'm concerned, that's a trade-off I'll take. And so I want to challenge you today with this. Trust in God's grace alone. Here's the challenge. We talked about the indescribable gift, right? It's beyond words. It's grace. It is God's indescribable gift. It's the thing that if we try to sit down and write out what it really is, I mean, we could probably come up with some, and some of us, like my oldest daughter, who's a writer, could probably come up with much more flowery prose than most of us about describing it. But I think all of the descriptions that we would ever try to give the wonder of God's grace would fall flat and fall short. So remember that it's indescribable. Remember that it is a gift. It's offered to us, but we must receive it. Right? If I give you a gift and you take it, or if I offer you a gift and I say, hey Dave, this gift is for you. This is, I bought this for you. I was thinking about you. I want you to have it. And Dave says, you know, thanks, but that's really nice. I'm really glad you thought of me, but I appreciate it, but no, I'm not going to receive that gift. It's not Dave's. It's still mine. I'm still holding on to it. Even though it's got Dave's name on the package, unless he receives it, it doesn't become his. And he may receive it and say, oh, thank you so much, and take it home and never unwrap it. Anybody have a gift that you've never unwrapped? You do? Oh boy, for those of you who are not a part of our church, write me, I'll tell you what that's all about. But seriously though, right? When we get a gift, we want to unwrap it, we want to see what it's about. We don't take a gift and say, you know, I thank you for that, and stick it in our pocket and never open it. At least I would hope that that's not something that we would do. And God wants us to take this gift that we've been given and to unwrap it and look at it and really examine it and analyze it. But not only is it just a gift, but it is also God's grace, God's power at work in you to do what He wants you to do. And so I want to just talk as we close here today just a little bit about what grace really is. The verses that we read earlier, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, say that it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. If we are trusting in anything except the grace of God, we stand on very shaky ground. It's not your perfection that brings you to God. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of God's perfect standard. It's not your pedigree that brings you salvation. I mean, let's think about David and his sons, right? David was considered a man after God's own heart. Solomon, not so much. Absalom, nah. Amon, no. So it has nothing to do with your pedigree. I have written here, salvation is non-transferable. Any of you watch the Polar Express? Right? These tickets are not transferable. Love that line. Makes me laugh every time. Salvation is exactly like it. It is not transferable. It's not your position. It's not whether you hold an eldership in a church, or if you're a deacon, or if you're a trustee, or if you're a committee leader, or a pastor, or anything else, or a mayor or a councilman or anything. It is not your position, because as Ephesians 2:3 said, we were all enemies of God at one time or another. It's not your power, whether you hold power or influence over people or business or anything else. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to God, to the Father, except through me. That's what Jesus said. It's not what I'm saying. Well, it is what I'm saying, but I'm only saying that because that's what Jesus said. That's not mine. Well, that's fine. I still got one thumbs up. That's good. Might get some more. But here, listen, as I want you to catch this, folks. That Jesus stands before us today, whether you're out there or whether you're in here, and he says, I am offering you this gift of grace. It is not something that you can produce in yourself. It has to come from God. It has to come through Christ. And he offers it to you today. This gift of grace is held out to you. And if you choose to receive it, if you choose to admit your sin and believe that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, God in flesh, if you believe that his death was enough to pay for your sin debt and to make you right with God, then you can receive this grace, this mercy, this love today, and make this Christmas the best Christmas you could ever hope to have. If you would like to know more about that, if you're here today, see me afterward. I would love to talk to you more about how you can have a relationship with Jesus. If you're watching online and you'd like to know more about how you can have a relationship with Jesus and receive this grace, will you write to me? The email address is in the description of the video. It's pastorjimofgrace@gmail.com. I would love to talk to you about it. And I would love to encourage you in your new walk with Christ. But ultimately, friends, and I'll say this, those of us who have received that grace, part of what God has saved us for is to give that grace away, to give that grace to others, to share our faith, to share what God has done in our lives. And if we're willing to share that, God is going to use our efforts to bring people to him by his grace. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Jesus and for everything that we have been given through him. Lord, thank you for the grace that is ours in Christ. And I pray that as we walk in truth, as we seek to honor you, Lord, that we would be just amazed by this grace that we've been given, that we've been shown. Be honored, be glorified in all we say and all we do. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.